Joshua 22, here we have the situation where the 2.5 tribes are now allowed to fully have their inheritance. They, in my opinion, try to take a shortcut to the kingdom of God. They came to the east banks of Jordan, they had a lot of cattle, they saw it was good grazing territory, they said, we want to have this. They didn't want to go over the Jordan River and drive out the Canaanites. They thought, no, this is good, we'll take this. And we'll settle here. This is good cattle country. They were surely aware that the law of Moses required that 3 times in a year their males should all appear at the sanctuary, whatever that was going to be. And, of course, to be the other side of the Jordan River was making it very difficult for that to happen. And yet they didn't seem to factor that in whatsoever. They put their cattle and their immediate material issues far in front of spiritual things. And yet, okay, God will give you what the essence of what you want, just as the father in the parable of the prodigal son, he gives the prodigal what the prodigal asks, even though he knows this is maybe, well, for sure, not the right thing for your spiritual growth, but okay, you get in essence what you want. This is why it's so important to have the right motives, to above all want the things of God and his kingdom. Anyway, they were told that, well, yeah, you can have this, but actually your men have got to leave your women and children there, and you've got to go over in front of the children of Israel. You've got to fight in the front line until all your brethren have found their inheritance, and then you can return and enjoy the land that you've chosen to have. So actually, it wasn't so easy as they imagined. But anyway, they did this. And yet, verse 2, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded you, and you've listened to my voice in all that I commanded you. Now Yahweh your God has given rest to your brothers as he spoke to them. Therefore now return and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, which you've been given beyond Jordan. Well, yes and no. Did Israel actually take all the land? No, they didn't. We know this, that there was a whole load of land that was not conquered and had to be divided up and divided. And again, Joshua's encouraging the people to go and take it, get on with the job. Why are you delaying? And they don't. And then we read from early chapters of Judges how, in fact, they didn't drive out all the Canaanites and the Canaanites dominated them. And also, we must give full weight to what's stated in Hebrews, that Joshua did not give them rest. It was Jesus who was to give rest. Finally, of course, Jesus is the same word as Joshua. Joshua is the Hebrew form, Jesus is the Greek form. So when we read here in verse 4 of Joshua 22, Yahweh your God has given rest to your brothers. Well, it seems to me that, of course, all the men of the 2.5 tribes couldn't stay over the other side of Jordan indefinitely. It seems that God, through Joshua, is being very generous to them. God has given rest to your brothers. Well, yes and no, in a sense, but Joshua did not give them rest. This is very clear in Hebrews. It seems to me that this is an example of where, okay, these people had made an unwise decision, but God does not force them not to make it. Okay, that's what you want to do. I'll run with that. Okay, I've given you some conditions that you've got to come over and go in front of your brethren and fight in the forefront of the battles and get your brethren their inheritance. And then you can go back. Okay, now he says you can go back. I think this is a parade example, really, of how when people fail, and the 2.5 tribes did fail, really, I think, in the decisions that they made. Okay, God will work with that, and he moves on. He does not say, well, you know, no, that's it, end of relationship. He tries to move on with people, and this is what he's doing here. And this is really what we have to do with people, with raising children, with dealing with folks who are difficult in the church, and etc. you're not going to win every battle. And people do mess up, and people do get their lives in a mess and in foolish situations because that is the unwisdom they showed at a point in time. But you can't reject them because of that. You've got to work with them as far as you can, because this is how God deals with us, and we have all done the same. Well, verse 7. To the one half tribe of Manasseh, Moses gave inheritance in Bashan, that's on the east of the Jordan River, but on the other half gave Joshua among their brothers beyond the Jordan westward. And, well, this division between brethren is surely not God's ideal intention. Remember that the Jordan was not, as it is today, a little small, fairly insignificant little river. It was wide enough to make crossing it difficult or impossible. That's why the whole river had to be dried up when they crossed over it, particularly at harvest time. The snow melt in the north there, and the mountains to the north would have all come pouring down, and it would have been a major division between brethren. And, okay, God goes along with that, in a sense. But, well, God still tries to work with them by all means. And he says that they are to return the two and a half tribes to their people on the other side of Jordan, and they are to divide the spoil of their enemies with your brothers. And yet, I think that the idea is to try to bind them together all the way through. So, okay, God does give them this inheritance. This is what they chose, and so he gives it to them. This is stressed, that the land of their possession, verse 9, which they owned according to the commandment of Yahweh by Moses. Yes, they did own that land, just as the prodigal son did really own what was given him by the father. God goes along with our requests. Now, you may say, but I'd really like to be a billionaire. I'd really like to have a far better house. Well, come on, God, you know, why don't I have it? If you say that you get what you want. Well, I'd say two things to that. One is that actually, probably, you are not actually that kind of chronic materialist. Probably that is not actually your heart's desire. It may be the feeling of a moment, but it's probably not the master passion of your life. Secondly, I said that God gives you the essence of what you want, maybe not the letter of it, but the essence of it. And therefore it matters where our heart is. And I think why God operates that way, as he did with the two and a half tribes, is that he respects the real core heart position of people. And if that is our core heart desire, well, that is what we shall be given. And that is how it shall be. And as David says, you know, what desire do I have apart from for you? There is one thing that I desire. And this is how it should be for us. And somehow, therefore, all will work out in this life, and we will get our heart's desire in the end, which is God's kingdom.